Oh, tell Chris. Tell Miss Chris. Huh? You're getting me tickled. Don't do that. I can't look at her. Turn me down, Brother Greg. Hey, how many of you have got to listen to WTHL this week? Anybody? Okay, the reason why I'm asking, let me back up. When we had the meeting Monday night at the center, or the Energy Center, everybody worked and got behind it, and it was imperative that we be there. And they filled the chamber up on the inside. Then they filled up out here, and then the fire marshal locked the doors and wouldn't let nobody else in, or didn't lock the doors. He just stood at the door and said nobody else permitted in because of the crowds. But when they had the vote, folks, when they read them all the articles off, and when they said no, 10 times they said no. And then the one woman that's a demented woman, she said yes. Okay, but there was a holy hush. I don't know how to experience it. I don't know how to explain it to you. When we got the vote 10-1. Okay. After it was over, Brother David Carr called me, and he was almost broken. And I thought, David, what's wrong? He said, Brother Sisson said, did you sense that presence in that room? I said, well, I did, really. He said, well, what do you think about coming over tomorrow and we'll go on that, what's called sound off. If y'all ever listened to it, it's called sound off. Call in. So anyway, what we're going to do is we're going to start up a revival meeting Thursday night, that's tomorrow night, at 7 o'clock over to the Gospel Barn. And he is so behind this, he wants to do this. And I said, well, Dave, I think we've got a door of opportunity. So God give us faith, just go through the door. So we got the Turner, how many of you said know the Turner sisters? I've heard of them. Oh, they'd be worth just coming. One plays the piano and one plays the guitar. And they're little colored girls, but I love them. I said, if there's any God in that place at all, they'll manifest it. But you need to come 7 o'clock and just be there, all right? That's tomorrow night. And what we're going to do, we're going to go Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, until the Lord just says, shut it down. You got to agree with me, brother. We need a moving of God in this county. Right. If you guys, how many of you was up at the center, the Energy Center, Monday night? If you could have seen the little pink armbands, the little old girls running around signifying that they're lesbian, if you could have seen that, if you could have seen them, a boy with a pink sports jacket on, and then they had that signifying, you know, the LGBTQ crowd, and then they had one man up there that had his vest on, and it was rainbow colored, and that you could just sense the evil in them people. Can y'all imagine your daughter traipsing around with her little pink armband on, signifying that she's a lesbian? She needs a mama pick her up, just wear the daylights out of her. Did I say that? I hope it goes on the air. I ain't backing up on that. These kids need some parents, amen. Right. You're not doing this. You're not getting involved in that. You're not going there. That's how we was raised.
Yes.
Amen. We didn't come out too bad. Right. Well, maybe something wasn't there back there in the back. Hey, I'm just picking. Come tomorrow night. If you can't, come pray for the meeting. Somebody asked me, said, Brother Sisson, I don't know what we're going to do. You ought to just listen to the churches that I've already called. We manned the phones for, we got off, we was on the air over an hour. That was Tuesday. And then over an hour today, people call in. And you cannot believe the people that called me after we went off the air. Well, there's no sense me trying to enumerate all the churches that's already involved that's going to come. They're going to bring vans loads of people. Wouldn't it be wonderful, Brother David, if revival just broke out? Yeah. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yes.
Glory! Y'all ain't never, hey, Jesse, you ain't never been in no two-week meeting. You ought to come. Sorry, dog. You might get that Owens out of him. What do you think? Let me tell you what happened. I'll preach just a moment. I know you're tired. A woman called me today and she said, didn't call me on the phone. She called, I was in a little cubicle, but they called me on the air and said, you can have a on line one. So I picked it up and I said, hello, this is Brother Sisson. She said, Brother Sisson, I want to know, do you believe in eternal security? Now, how in the world that this is, okay. And do you believe in once grace and always in grace? She's sort of, that's the kind of tone she's using. You know, I said, well, ma'am, you can only be birthed one time physically. You can only be birthed one time spiritually. You'll get that in a minute. Well, she said, but I said, because you are saved, don't give you a license to go out here and practice sin.
Yeah, you're right.
I said, I know, I understand where you're coming from. I said, there's all kinds of people that says they're saved, say they're saved, and live like hell itself.
Right.
I said, hey, don't give you no license. If you're saved, your life's changed. If you don't change, you ain't saved.
Right.
Helped her, didn't I?
Yeah.
She said, okay, bye. Hey, open your Bible. I got to do this. Now, don't forget now. Don't forget. Well, we want revival to break out. I want you to turn with me tonight, if you would, in 2 Chronicles in chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And I want you to, if you would, I don't know how many of y'all mark your Bibles, but I want you to do this for me. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, everybody that read, if you're familiar with your Bible, you're going to say, well, he's going to go to verse 14. No, I'm not. Go back and look in verse 1. I want to show you this. Now, I got to help you if I can. How many of you believe in the imminent return of the Lord? Imminent. That means he can come right now. Right now, as Raymond Sawyer said. Right now. Okay. Excuse me just for a minute. The devil is not omnipotent.
Right.
He's not omnipresent.
Right.
He's not omniscient. But there's some things, hope, that the devil does know.
Yeah.
Let me show you. Now, hang on to my thought. I'm in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I'm going to prove it to you. Now, keep your finger right there, and I want you to go right back to the book of Revelation with me, and I want you to turn to chapter 11. In Revelation chapter 11, then we're going to go back to the book of 2 Chronicles. All right, tell me right quick, and I want you to talk back to me. That's okay. What does in your, don't give me what, your figment of imagination. Don't give me that. What does the devil look like? What is his appearance? He is not a red underwear, long tail, two horns, and a pitchfork.
No.
All right, literally, he is a defeated enemy.
Right.
He is a defeated enemy. He was defeated when Jesus cried, it's finished, in John 19, 30.
Right.
Now, watch here. What does the devil know? How much does he know? We know he can quote the Bible.
Yes.
He quoted the Bible to Jesus, the Son of God.
Right.
Is my tie crooked? What is wrong with you? All right. He quoted the Bible to Jesus, but he'll leave off some words.
He will.
If you read your Bible, when he says, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down.
Right.
If you read your Bible, all right, read it all, what he said, if you go to Psalms 91 verse 11, he left off three words, in all thy ways.
Yes.
See, the devil left that off.
Yes.
And when he told Eve, he says, in the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die, and thou shalt not touch it. God didn't say not touch that fruit.
Right. Right.
See, the devil either add to or he'll take away.
Right.
Now, let's go hurriedly. I'm going to show you. Look in your Bible. I'm in the book of Revelation, chapter 11, and I'm going to read it real slowly. I'm sorry, chapter 12. And I want you to look in verse, let's read verse 11. Shoot, I can't get it all out. Look in verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by what?
The word.
And by the word of their testimony. Now, won't you watch this? And they loved not their lives unto the death. Now, you got to keep in mind, I understand what's going on. But look in verse 12. Therefore, rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath. Now, Brother Billy mentioned it a moment ago, we are, as a country, we are in a sewer.
Yes.
All right, the reason being is watch this. When we left God out in Psalms 9, verse 11, he says, the righteous, the wicked shall be turned into hell. All right, there's this turning. If you look in verse 12, verse, having great wrath because he knoweth. How many of y'all see that? I want to see you raise your hand. Because he knoweth. What does he know? Now go on. He hath, H-A-T-H, but he hath but a short time. It does not that he mean that he knows the moment Jesus will come. Only the Father knows that. Even the Son don't even know that. So there's some things, Miss Hope, that the devil knows. He knows that his time is going to be but short.
Yes.
All right, the closer we get to the coming of our Lord, the more the battle is going to be intensified.
Right.
Does everybody understand that?
Yes.
That's the reason why that Wednesday night's just as important as Sunday.
Yes.
Now, let me tell you why. Look at me. If you're going to keep your home together and keep your sanity in a world that's going insane, you got to have a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus.
Right.
Church is so important. God never intended it to become what it is.
Right.
Never intended it for it to become what it is. People come dragging in on Wednesday night and just rah, 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 rah. Where is all this stuff coming from? Why is there so many homes breaking up? Why do we have so many children being abandoned? Why all of this? The devil is putting on a full court press. He knows he has but a short time. All right, knowing this, don't you think we ought to give it all we got?
Yeah.
Jesus is worthy of us giving it all we got. Amen, Brother Sisson. Put the pedal to the metal.
Yes.
Do this. You know, Brother Raymond preaches this message. I talk about it all the time. He preaches on rat now. Did you ever hear him preach that on rat now? Oh, Lord. Rat, not right now, rat. That's an Alabama term, rat now, okay. But let me show you what the devil, if I can show you this, why do we have all of the problems that we're having? Let's go back to 2 Chronicles. I want you to watch. I'm going to stay right there. Now get this. I'm in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. You have to be a Hebrew scholar or a Greek scholar to understand. Now, the word now. When Solomon had made an end of praying. Now you need to get that. The fire came down from heaven. I was on the radio, Brother Billy, and I'm going to do this as sure as my name is what it is. I got me a box of them big matches. I know y'all have seen them.
Yeah.
Have you ever just thought about how important a match is? A match. As long as that match is in the box, it's not fulfilling its purpose.
Right.
A match has to be struck.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Okay. But notice it says when Solomon had ended the praying, the fire came. Let me show you this. I got to quit this. I got to show you. Now, I want you to watch because I want to help you. Look on. It says, and the fire came down from heaven, thank God, and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house.
Right.
Now, look at me for a moment. What is the glory? What did he say when the glory filled the house? What did he mean by that? Well, go on. Let me show you verse 2. The priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. Woo, glory. The priest couldn't even get in. Now look in verse 3. And when when the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory, there it is again, of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever and ever. All right, I understand. Chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. I understand Solomon. I understand he built the house. That I'm not going to get into that. But what I want you to see, when Solomon had made an end of praying, he's fixing to dedicate the house of God. All right. You are, when you got saved, you are a purchased possession.
Right.
Nod your head.
Yes.
You are a purchased possession.
Right.
1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20.
Right.
All right, literally, here's Solomon. He's talking about the it filled the house. Well, where the Spirit of God indwells, don't you think we ought to be a clean vessel?
Yes.
Don't you think that we ought to say, Lord, fill this vessel?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right, what is the results of it? Let me show you. Let me back up. What is the result of the filling of the house? Now, won't you look in verse 2. Well, let me read. And the glory of the Lord filled the what? Say it back. Filled the house. Now look in verse 2. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when ALL, not just Brother Billy, not just Miss Chris, not Brother Junior, hey, not Brother Porter, and when all the children of Israel, they saw how the fire came down and the glory. All right, there's some things that happens, and boy, we need this desperately. If you look in your Bible, what does the word all mean?
Yeah.
Don't you think? How many of y'all remember the hour or day when you got saved? How many of y'all was just a little bit excited about it? Just a little bit. Okay, if you look back in your Bible in verses 2 and 3, when the glory filled that house, they all got excited.
Yes.
Now, look at me for a moment. Don't start no world war down here. If you watch UK basketball, if you watch football, if you watch anything, there's some kind of spirit comes over them people.
Right.
You got to admit they're excited.
Yes.
Amen, 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 amen. All right, when the glory filled this house, they all got excited. What is wrong with us getting excited about being saved, knowing that he lives in us, knowing our past is gone, knowing our future is secure, woo-hoo,
right,
and that nothing can happen to me without the knowledge of God? I ain't never got over being saved. I don't want to get over it.
You won't.
I love it, Brother Penny. Do you think they ever forgot verse 1? The priest couldn't even get in the house. Shoot, I bet they talked about it. You, what I'm saying is people today, they get excited about a football game or a basketball game. Amen, sister.
Right.
But you don't see a whole lot of excitement in the house of God.
Right.
You don't see, hey, glory, hallelujah, bless his name. Could I ask you something? Why does people even raise their hand? Don't, just keep your question. Just, I'll answer your question in a minute. Why do they, hey, amen. Used to, they had an amen corner.
Right.
And used to, the older people, they sit in a, knew this. And you'd hear them say, amen. Yeah. All right, amen means so mote it be. Yeah. Or praise the Lord. Yeah. My wife and I literally, back in when I was in my middle 20s, I don't think Brother Ben and Miss Chris knew Brother Grady Lemons. Did you know him?
Yeah.
Brother Grady from Shelby? He used to have this big camp meeting, Brother Junior. He had a huge church, had a balcony on it. You wouldn't believe it. I had never been in nothing like that in my life. They had a choir. Yes, my wife had about 100 people. You never seen nothing like that. Well, I'd go in there, and I was a Jake Leg, and she'd come out of a real, yeah, cold church.
Yeah.
Say something to me. Here I am. I'm very excitable. I got saved by the grace of God in a good Bible-believing church.
Yeah.
All right, here I am in this great big church, and I'd never been nothing like that in my life. I mean, everybody, they're loving on each other. The choir start singing, and you ain't never heard nothing like that in your life.
Yeah.
And they'd raise their handkerchiefs and say, well, glory. And I'd always wind up right behind some elderly woman, and she'd raise her hand with a little old handkerchief, and you could see every vein in her hand. And her up there saying, praise the Lord. Bless his name. Jesus, I love you. Man, lightning bolts would go through my body. Are y'all listening to me?
Right.
Okay, what is wrong with that? Absolutely, genuinely, nothing.
Right.
Okay, if you really realize where you come from, what's happened to you, where we're going, it ought to bring a little excitement in your life. Knowing everything in your past was gone when you got saved.
Yes.
What about that? That God forgave you. Look here, and wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yeah.
Brother Sisson, you're too excitable. Well, somebody said, I was too emotional. I said, well, then quit kissing your wife. That's an emotion. Look at y'all's faces. What is wrong? This is the result of the feeling. Look back at your Bible. They all was excited. Now, write it down for me. Boy, I would absolutely love just one time in my life before I kick out of here, see everybody get involved in the service.
Yes.
Now go back, look in verse 2. And the Bible says, and the glory of the Lord filled the house, verse 2, and the priest could not enter in because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. And when all, there's that word again, and when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down. Guess what? Not only did it bring excitement, please write that down, but look in your Bible, it brought humility. Let me show you why. Because the glory of the Lord, verse 3, and when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, the glory of the Lord, and the Bible says on the house, they bowed themselves. You know, irregardless of what you think of Donald Trump, you have to admire the man for him and his vice president and all the cabinet members holding hands praying.
Yes. Right.
With their heads bowed.
Yep.
Here it says they bowed their heads, but notice whereabouts, upon the pavement. See, some of y'all have probably never seen them like this. If you, some churches, and I'm not against this. In fact, I like it. In Alabama, when you get up to preach, a lot of times they'll come and get out on their knees and on their faces before God, and all the whole time you're praying, the whole time you're preaching. You have to step over them. Four or five people stretched out prostrate. That don't tell me that that don't knock the pride out of you.
Yeah.
All right, notice in your Bible now, they bowed themselves toward the ground and the pavement. Now look in verse 3, and it says, faces to the ground upon the pavement. So it brought not only humility. Who was it said a moment ago? Brother Billy, what is wrong with America? We're filled with pride.
Yes,
we got all of our might, military might. We think we're invincible. We think nothing can happen to us. But that wasn't the way it always was.
Right.
At one time, a man told me today, he said, you know what? We need another Franklin Eldo Roosevelt. I don't agree with that, Roosevelt. I mean, he'd cuss and he'd call people names. But boy, he wouldn't tolerate no junk, that's for a fact.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be wonderful, I mean, if people, when we realize that God is the one that gives us what we got.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yes.
And then, guess what? Look in your Bible. It brought humility. It says they bowed themselves to the pavement. And guess what? America, it says big pride goes before the fall. 50-some years of my life watched this. I love Brother Billy. I love Miss Chris. But I'm telling you, whether it's me or him or anybody else in this building, if you get filled with pride, the Bible says pride goes before the fall.
That's right.
Ooh, did I say that?
Yes.
James says that God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble.
Amen.
How long's it been since you've seen anybody, I mean literally, I mean, just fill the altars with, it wasn't nothing uncommon in years gone by. They'd be little tears just all over the, whoo, I mean, all over the hardwood and where people was praying and agonizing for their families to be saved.
Not much anymore.
But you don't see it.
No.
We're almost to the point we think, I don't need, you know, we're living that Laodicean church age in Revelation 3, increased with goods, have need of nothing.
Right.
Amen, Brother Sisson. Now, guess what? Not only did it bring humility, but I want you to watch the third thing. Look in verse 3. Boy, when I saw this, it says they bowed themselves upon the pavement and they worshiped. Well, worship is adoration. Now, watch this. And then the Bible says, and praise the Lord. So if I read that right, worship and praise is two different things.
That's right.
They worship the Lord,
yes,
and then they pray. But look where they're at. Please look in your Bible. It plainly says they bowed their faces to the pavement. Well, that they couldn't be looking around nobody else. Am I right or wrong?
Right.
What I'm saying is, fall in love. They asked me on the radio. My voice is about gone. But they keep asking me on the radio, what does America need? Fall in love with the Son of God.
Yes.
Hey, listen to me. If people will fall in love with the Lord, are y'all listening?
Yes.
Will it not produce holiness and cleanness in your life?
Yeah.
Everybody's been talking about, well now, Brother Sisson, I'll tell you what, we've got a culture problem. The reason why we've got a culture problem is because the heart needs to be changed. Say amen. If we get them saved by the grace of God, really saved, that'll change the culture.
Amen.
Take a rocket scientist, figure that out, don't he?
Yeah, really.
We don't need to go to no more psychiatrists or analysis.
Mm-hmm.
Need a heart transplant. Good preaching,
right.
Melvin. Now watch this. It brought not only humility, you got to see this. I'm showing you now. We're talking about brought worship. Thank God. Say amen. The word worship, the word praise is used over 1,500 times in the book of Psalms. You got 150 Psalms and it's always said, praise the Lord. Everything that hath a breath, praise the Lord. If you think, and I believe this is healthy, if you look back where God brought you from and see what you're happening to you now and get a glimpse of where you're going, every now and then it's going to bring praise to your heart.
Amen. Yes.
Every now and then.
Right.
Well, boy, they hit them three-pointers. To be honest with you, I'm not a basketball player. My boy's, he's absolutely lost his ever-loving mind over UK. He bleeds blue. That's a fact. I call him up sometimes just to aggravate him when the game's going on just because just to know. Dad, I'm trying to watch a game. I said, that's the reason why I called. No, I'm just kidding. But you have to agree with me that people there get excited, boy. I mean, you know, when it's like 71 to 70 and boy, there it's final minutes or whatever it is. What I'm saying is, look back in my verse and look what happened. It brought not only humility, it brought excitement, but it brought praise, but now watch, it brought worship. Brother Sisson, I don't feel good sometimes. Well, I don't either. Let me show you this. I want everybody to turn to Isaiah with me. Sometimes you say, Brother Ben, I'm going to ask you. Everybody find Isaiah 61, 60, I think it is. Isaiah 61. Hope. Everything's going good, right? Jesse ain't mad. You're doing good. All the bills paid. Car's fixed. Everything, truck's ready. Everything good, right? But if you be honest, sometimes there's just a dark cloud hangs over our head.
Yeah.
Do this.
Yeah.
Where does that come from? I mean, we're saved, going to heaven, yeah, trying our best to live for God. But sometimes there's just a dark cloud hanging over our head. And you say, well, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, I understand that too. But now I want you to watch. Look in Isaiah chapter 61, and I want you to read with me verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Y'all didn't get it.
Yes.
The garment of praise for the spirit of heavens. You say, that's too simple, but it sure does work.
It does work.
You ought to try it sometime. Mm-hmm. Well, everything's going south. I'm telling you, hey, just count your many blessings.
Yes.
Just do that. And you watch what happens. Amen. Or better than that, let me tell you what I want you to do. Go up to Somerset Florist or the Best, or what's the name of that florist shop we deal? Go to the Simply Best. Nice people, love the Lord. Go in there and tell them, I want 20 carnations, okay? It won't cost you that much money. Get your armload of carnations and go to the nursing home. And I'll guarantee you, you won't get three doors down passing them out till you'll get out of that spirit of heaviness.
Yeah, right.
It works. I'll guarantee you. All you got to do is look around and see somebody else got it far worse than you got it. Amen. But what I'm saying is, people don't ever take inventory like that. They like this narcissism of pouting.
Yeah.
Lip rolled out like a carpet roll.
Right.
I can't even get mine out there like that. And I mean, they just want to be in gloom and doom all the time. Not Jesse. Oh, Hope. No. We know who gets poochy lip. There's out there trying to wrestle a hog when I was coming in. I mean, stealing a hog. Ain't that pitiful? Hope that's a pig, Brother Sisson. Crazy girl. Yeah, I was thinking about ham. Look on in your Bible. It says he gives you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaven. The next time that you have this dark cloud coming over your head, and you think about this, he gives you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaveniness. Now watch this. Let's go back. 2 Chronicles. Everybody, get over there right quick. It won't take me but a minute. Now when the... This is what's missing, but it's not even wanted. Let me show you what I mean. It says in 2 Chronicles 7, when a glory filled the house, it brought excitement. Say amen. Then it brought humility. They bowed themselves. Then it brought worship in verse 3. Then it brought praise in verse 3. But now look in verse 4. The Bible says, and then when king and all the people offered sacrifices, did I say that?
Yes.
Before the Lord. Now watch this. Verse 6. He says, and the priest sounded trumpets before the Lord then, and all of Israel stood. But look in verse 7. Moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, for there be the offered burnt offerings, and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive. Now listen to this. To receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. There was so much stuff brought it couldn't receive it. Amen. Woo! I reckon evidently God ain't never been good to y'all.
Yes, he has.
There's sometimes that I go to the mailbox and I have a spell. Don't y'all ever have one of them?
Yeah, but not usually at the mailbox.
I do. I have one sometime between the mailbox and the house, just having a spell. But I get to thinking about how good God's been to me and her. A good warm house.
Yes.
Water don't never freeze up and bust.
That's good.
Don't have to get dragged wood in. Don't have to build a fire. Do this. Boy, isn't it good to have a thermostat.
Yeah.
But I think about how good God's been to me. I'm not talking about you.
Right.
I love to give. I love helping people. It brings, how many of you in this building, and I love you people, but how many of you have ever helped somebody, God impressed upon your heart to help somebody, unbeknownst to anybody else, you helped them. Do y'all remember that elation or the feeling that come over you?
Yes.
That's really what you was put here for.
Yes, right. That's right. That's right.
Okay, when we was in New Guinea, ma'am, I ain't never got over this. Ask my wife, did you know what they used to do in New Guinea? This big old house, you know, that big old building that in Marotta that Raymond, that God used Raymond to build.
Yeah.
Guess what they done? They bring mops and brooms and cleaning stuff to the house of God. Them natives that don't have nothing brought all of this stuff and put it on the altar. I ain't never got over that. Well, to me, that was a blessing. Them people that don't make hardly a dollar a day and them giving of everything they've got to buy mops and broom and cleaning stuff for the house of God.
Isn't that good?
Folks, you can, Hebrews 6, God says, he's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love.
Right.
Are you all listening to me?
Yes.
When you get to take an inventory of how good God's been good to you, you'll want to give back to God.
Yes, amen.
And I'm not necessarily talking about money. You can talk about money, and boy, that boy right there kills the whole meeting.
Yeah.
But to give of yourself. To give yourself, to fasting, to praying, to really, I mean, to get down dead rock earnest with God and say, Lord, I know I'm a purchased possession. I know I have to fight the world, the flesh, and the devil every day of my life.
Right.
But you know what I told him on the radio? And I got all kinds of calls over this. Y'all look at me. I said, I believe we got as good as pastors that ever drawed a breath, ever feel shoe leather. But I said, our problem is we don't apply what we hear to our lives. Ooh, did it get real quiet then?
That's right.
We don't apply what we hear to our lives. Now, listen to me. We got a fame and a hearing.
Yeah.
Mary, she was, when I was having all these heart problems, I'd go to the doctor and I'd come back home. She'd say, what doctor say? I'd murmur something, whatever. She'd say, did you get your prescriptions? Did he give you? Yeah. Then she'd say, did you get them filled?
No.
How is it going to help me if I don't get it filled?
Good question.
Okay, how can the preaching help you if you don't fill the prescription?
Yeah.
And apply it. Don't you? I tell everybody, don't you want to be a better person? I mean, for God's glory and honor, not somebody could pat you on the back. I'm not talking about that. Oh, Brother Billy, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the word that God is just pleased with your life. I know you want me not to quit that, but I ain't going to. I'm saying, listen to me for a minute. It brought praise, it brought worship, but it brought sacrifice.
Yes, it does.
Folks, when the glory filled the house, all right, the Spirit of God came back on the day of Pentecost. Now then, he lives within the believer. We're his house.
Right.
Them same things that I just read to you that happened when Solomon, the glory filled the house, ought to happen to every one of us.
Yeah. Amen.
It ought to bring praise. It ought to bring worship. It ought to bring humility to us.
Yes.
Amen. But then I guess with all my heart, it ought to bring sacrifice. Yes. Anybody here having trouble with your tongue?
Yes.
James said it's set on fire of hell. You read James?
That's right.
All right, he says, no man can tame the thing. I'm going to preach on a little red wagon. It's always red and it's wagon. Tongue. It's like them people over there, that LGBTQ crowd. Part of me would like to just slap the devil out of them. I'm sorry. Yeah, and another part of me, I just feel, I agonize and think, it's only by the grace of God. But listen to me, do you ever take self-inventory? Do you ever say, God, fill this temple? Did you know we're commanded to?
Yeah.
We're commanded to be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen, Brother Sisson?
Mm-hmm.
I know we're leaky vessels, but I believe sometimes we use that for an excuse.
Yeah.
This is what happens when the glory fills the house. You don't see people anymore. The old people used to meditate upon what the preacher said. They'd meditate or muse over it. Talk about it.
Yes.
Now then, guess what we do? We leave it on the dash of the car, dash of the truck, leave it somewhere, leave it on the pew Bibles. Ain't that pitiful, pew Bibles.
Right.
Don't even never read them. Don't never take time to study them. Amen, Brother Sisson?
Right.
What I'm saying is, if you look back in verse, it brought these things when the glory filled the house.
Right.
Now, this is a good church. Y'all have got a great preacher. But sometimes y'all take self-inventory of your life.
Right. Amen. Right.
And say, God, Lord, I want you to be pleased with my life. Lord, you've been so good to me. So good to me. I got a little great-grandson. Man, why do we fall in love like that? I love that little old boy, Dylan, my grandson. He's got this little boy. Oh, I could eat his ears off. We just lost our minds. Mary and I have lost our minds over him. But when I look at him, I think, what's going to become of him?
Right.
What kind of preacher is he going to have to listen to?
Right.
What will his schools be like? The devil comes with great wrath, for he knows he hath but a short time. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to take everything he can. There's some things you ought to put a sign up, you ain't getting. You ought to say, you ain't getting my church, you ain't getting my preacher, you ain't getting my people. Listen, I want us to stand, bow our heads, and close our eyes. Brother Porter's going to come. I wish I could show you. The glory filled the house, and it brought involvement. Everybody got involved. It brought not only excitement, brought humility, brought praise, brought worship, but it brought sacrifice, but then it brought involvement. Boy, I want to like my Lord, I want him to be pleased with my life. Father, I love you from the depths of my heart. God bless Brother Billy. Bless his dear folks. Lord, help us to see that the fields are white unto harvest and the laborers are few. May we crave, oh dear God, to be filled with the Spirit of God. Help us to live in view of wanting to hear the words, well done. Thank you now for the word of God, which is forever settled in heaven. Speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Porter.
339.